brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that door of the day, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen, to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm TC Downey, aka Beast Zeno, and today we do not actually have a co-host going here. But before we get into that, I think we actually do have our guest of honor on the line. So, is this Savik?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, man.
Well done. Thank you. What happened to Zach? Mr. Black, where are you?
Zach, he had to work this evening.
Oh, wow.
And I guess what has happened is he didn't get to go to bed until, well, earlier today, so he wasn't going to be able to make it because he had to go to work and sleep sometime in between. So it's just going to be. It is just going to be you and I for right now on the air, which is all fine and dandy with me. I guess start off by asking you if you would please, for those of our audience that are tuning in for the first time, if you could just kind of, you know, tell them who you are.
Well, that's a bit of a mystery, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you what I call my bullshit street cred crap. I was born in 1962. My name is Savik N. I was raised in a family of I wouldn't call them occultists per se, but my grandmother and my mother were did things. Well, my grandmother was a spiritualist, and she was a trans medium. And then my mother was just into all kinds of shit. Since a very early age, of course, I was involved in all of that. And then I had a predilection for art, so I trained as an artist ever since I was a child. And learned to paint, and later on learned to play guitar, except I still don't know how to play guitar, but I do know how to write songs, so I'm a songwriter. And let's see, I've done a bunch of music, I've done a bunch of, a hell of a lot of everything, including, you know, here's one for Mr. Black. Working today, are we? Okay, so here are some normal jobs I've had. I've been a prison guard in a maximum security prison, one of the worst ones in America. I purposely put myself in that position so I could learn. I've been a repo man, the old school kind, where you actually go up and steal the cars. Don't just back some tow truck up to them and take them. You take them by stealing them. Sometime at the point of a gun. When I got tired of being a prison guard, I became a criminal. I came to Athens, Georgia, and I found I wanted to turn my art skills into a viable career, and I came to Athens, Georgia to tattoo, and I found that it was illegal. So I didn't care much for that, so I legalized it single-handedly without the aid of four attorneys that said it couldn't be done. What else? I've got the Medal of Valor for saving the lives of 17 men on death row. I've met about every serial killer of, well, not everyone. I mean, people in my family have met about every serial killer there is. Various ne'er-do-wells. That's the prison thing again. I've done a bunch of music. I had a band called the Lee Harvey Oswald Band, which is supposedly some fucking kind of big deal to some people that need serious fucking counseling. And then three albums with them on Touch and Go Records out of Chicago. A lot of different stuff, kind of boring. All that shit's boring, and it's only in context of why I did it and what I was doing with it. I write songs now, and I just write them because I write them, and famous people do them, and I don't care about the fame, but they're qualified to do them. They do a great job of it. Then, but for the last 10 years, I don't really give a shit about any of that. But for the last 10 years, I've devoted myself exclusively to the pursuit of maximizing my studies in the occult to arrive at what I think is a very interesting point, and that is something that I don't know if I created. Here's the thing. Much of what I'm about to say during the course of this interview is paradox. I know Satanists in general have a tendency, and you'll disagree with this, of course, but please, close observation usually reveals the truth. They have a tendency to want something tangible. I'm afraid in the world of magic, which is the world that I'm most interested in, and where I've done at least for the last 10 years, very, very serious and sincere efforts within, I think I've either created something or something's created me, and I really don't care which. The results of those are tangible, and I'm talking about fucking tangible, folks. I'm not talking about pie in the sky fucking philosophy. I'm talking about mountains of goddamn cash. I'm talking about my enemies being fucking vaporized.
Right on.
Okay. Shit. No fucking bullshit. No fucking hedge. End of fucking story. I mean, I don't want to cop an attitude, but there seems to be this aura of disbelief. Now that's natural, isn't it? It's completely natural for people that have never experienced what I've experienced. And if anybody wants to, they can do all the investigation that they want. Maybe they can find out that what I'm saying is true.
All right. Well, before we get too deeply on that, I just kind of wanted to trace back a little bit, just in the significance of your appearance here for the first time on our Christmas Eve show, and then in contrast, a few weeks ago, I'm not exactly sure which episode it was that we caught you at the tail end of it, and that's how we've actually come to this current show. Something that I noticed exclusively, and something that I think seems to be an overall theme, if that makes sense to you, is that, like, for instance, your stage name when you were playing with Lee Harvey Oswald Band was Zoe Fenderblaster, correct?
Yeah, Zowie Fenderblaster, yeah.
Zowie Fenderblaster. What seems to be happening here in my observation is there seems to be a persona shift, if that makes sense, or it seems like you're stepping into character in these different roles that you play.
And
sorry, that's my work phone. There's nobody else here to answer it, so it'll just go to answer, which is fine.
It's probably going to happen to me because I'm in my office too, so.
Right on.
Yeah, the persona thing. Let me explain that briefly. It's really of no importance. What it is early on I realized that the identity as we know it is arbitrary. And we understand this when we observe actors or when we observe any kind of entertainment situation. It's also prevalent in crime. Also known as XXX, you know.
Right on.
And it always involves deception. It can involve, but I investigate things very, very deeply. I don't think it's worthwhile not to. Now, a lot of times you come up empty-handed because there's nothing there. a good friend of mine wrote a song called Sweet, Sweet Satan, and there's a line in it that I love. It takes 10 tons of bullshit for 10 ounces of glory. But if you're not going to get that 10 ounces unless you dig. Now, the identity, thank you, Mr. Tongue, the identity thing is very easy to explain. Imagine the classic definition of a wizard or some Walt Disney cartoon wizard. There he is, right? And he needs to disappear. So he taps himself on the head with a magic wand and he turns into a mouse, and then because he's a mouse, he can go through a hole. Or for this purpose or that purpose, he transforms himself into something else. It's a simple, great things can be learned from cartoons. We forget at times that, it's just I found out long ago that identity means nothing.
Right.
I've been a thousand different things, and I don't grasp any of them. I don't give a damn. I'm whatever I need to be at the time. I'm about to turn into a businessman in a profession that I've never been in before. You know, I'm already doing negotiations.
Right on.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's my perspective, and just my perspective, that we as human beings often use this thing called personality, which more specifically I'm referring to the adoption of a certain persona, to give us a kind of a plug-and-play set of tools to work in and to accomplish whatever means we're trying to achieve.
Right.
For instance, you go to work, you adopt a set of professional ethics that you go by, whatever those professional ethics are, and that person that's there at work is completely different than the guy that opens the door at home a half hour after your shift's over.
Right.
Or at least he should be, in theory.
I don't do that. Unless I specifically want to be somebody else for my own reasons, I never do anything out of fear. As a matter of fact, I had a discussion today about the so-called professionals. It's like professionalism is basically based on fear. Okay, if you can do something well, fine. If you can't, you're walking around with a broomstick up your ass, acting, well, I'm a professional. In my line of work, if you have to tell people you're a professional, you ain't. You either do the fucking job or you can't. And
right.
Strutting around like your fucking shit doesn't stink isn't going to save you. Now, it's especially true in occupations that have a lot of violence and shit in it. It's like you can be a professional all fucking day. Somebody comes at you with a fucking shank or a gun, you either piss your panties and fucking run, or you goddamn take the guy out. Okay, simple. I don't give a fuck what somebody's opinion is. You either, I'm a professional. Well, you keep thinking that while you're getting your ass kicked, right?
Right.
Because a professional should be kicking somebody's ass, shouldn't they? Oh, fuck, this isn't working out well for me. You know, I just grew tired of that kind of presenting a different persona to the general public, which I have no respect for whatsoever. I mean, I'll do it for my own purposes and my own amusement, but I never do that. As a matter of fact, I'm notorious for absolutely shocking the crap out of people. It's one of my favorite things to do, go up to these people that think very highly of themselves and then say something that absolutely throws them into a fucking state of shock. And these are powerful people.
Right on.
I don't care, man. What are you going to do, kill me? It's been tried. And if you succeed, cool. Fucking go for it. I don't give a fuck. You know, there's so much shit based on fear, man. That's the basic operating system behind most of what has often been referred to as the herd. Working on this fear-based operating system, I just fucking don't dig it. You there?
Okay, sorry about that, folks. You know how the old Skype connection works sometimes here at work. Sabik, I would invite you to call back in, man. Got back here as quick as I could, as soon as your voice cut off. In the meantime, let's just kind of take a minute and there we go. Here's Sabik coming back on. Sabik?
Look, it was magic. I disappeared.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
I don't know how much of that rant you caught.
It looks like Mr. Black is actually going to be joining us. I'm echoing now. Hang on a second. Sorry.
Cool.
It looks like Mr. Black's going to be joining us after all, so he'll be here in just a couple of minutes. But
cool.
I'm trying to think of where we dropped off. We were talking about the idea of a personality.
Right.
Or persona, rather. But to me, I think it's all specifically talking about the same thing. The personality and the persona all makes the suggestion of this artificial interface that's created to help you negotiate interactions in the external world. I mean, obviously, inside of you, you don't have to make those kind of radical shifts.
Right.
I thought that was fascinating, in just the fact that you're the first person I've ever actually seen who does this kind of thing consciously. However, I've read a great deal about something to do with that within the system of the fourth way. Gurdjieff talks a lot about developing essence over persona, and essence obviously being the core self. And so I was kind of curious as to if in fact that's something that you're embracing.
Well, I've never read a word of Gurdjieff, which might shock some people, but I found all this stuff out on my own. I did, this was back in maybe 1987 or something. I came across a very strange form of yoga, and it was called Raja Yoga. Now, if you get on YouTube and look up Raja Yoga, it's nothing that I recognize as Raja Yoga. So I started practicing this, and primarily because it was supposed to be the hardest form of yoga to deal with or whatever. And one of the reasons why I did it is because the one thing that kept coming up was the development of a thing called siddhis, which were supposed magical powers that you would achieve once you achieved a certain level or something, mastery of this nonsense. And that's how I found out about it. I found out there's absolutely nothing to identity. There is no fucking identity. It's a goddamn idea. And the ego is...
Right. And that's actually kind of something... that's what I'm talking about. In essence, that personality is nothing more than an illusion created to give us some kind of an interface with the external world, which is kind of what I was getting at. And now what I'm curious about here is after kind of reading that and wondering if you were yourself kind of, you know, playing with those notions, what now brings me to it is why you've taken an interest in the left-hand path, which is actually all about developing the self. But even on our last show, you basically made the statement that there is no self.
One thing that I have a issue with is declarative sentences that sound as if you fucking know what you're talking about. And if I said that, I really regret it. It seems to me, because I've been there, that there is no self. There's no need for a self. I mean, there is a thing that we call the self, which seems to be an observer. It's one of the things that you learn when you're practicing Raja Yoga. It's like, well, okay, what are thoughts? Where are thoughts coming from? Well, the thoughts are being observed, but they're being observed by who? he was the observer. And, you know, I'm kind of the opinion, because I've been to that shore, I pierced that veil, it's like, well, you know, do this. You want to do something, you want to do a little medical experiment? Just give somebody a frontal lobotomy and see what, how much of a fucking identity they have.
Right. I mean, I absolutely know what you're saying. It's all a product of the material brain.
Well, it's I call it a product of smoke. It's ghosts. They're ideas. Actually, maybe now would be a good time. I really don't want to jump ahead or anything, but I worked all this out a long time ago, and there's an equation. Some people would call it a theory, but it's actually an equation called INRI, inertial non-rational imitation. I wanted to find the unified field theory of human behavior and personality. And I did. Excuse me. And it's just a construction. Personalities, cultures itself. It's nothing but a construction of a bunch of horse shit. A bunch of ideas that people, because they don't question it, they fall for it. It's non-rational. Inertial non-rational imitation. By the way, you can find those initials nailed conveniently on a plaque on your nearest crucifix, by the way, but then it stands for I'm nailed right in. It's a joke. Anyway.
Right on. Real quick, Asadik, if you don't mind, I think that we have Zach on the line now, so let me go ahead and just get him up here.
Okie dokie.
Zach?
Yes, gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Well, Zach, I'm so glad you could join us. You're
thank
at work.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm late, but better than late than never, right? And I'm trying to play catch up with you. Are you saying that we should practice Pilates or Satanism? Solve it.
Well, that's entirely up to you. I don't really understand what Pilates is, but you can practice Satanism and Pilates, perhaps. I'm not sure. I've never seen the combination of the two. I don't hang out with Satanists, but I don't. You can practice whatever you like. Fuck, practice checkers. I don't give a shit. Practice the piano. They said I'd never play again, but watch me now. I'm not going to suggest you folks or anyone on the face of this fucking spinning ball of dirt practice or do a damn thing. You may do as you please. Go ahead. You have my permission. Answering a question, Mr. Black.
All right. Well, continue, gentlemen. I don't mean to, you know. Derail this train. Let's move forward.
That's okay. I mean, I honestly started the show with the idea in my mind that it would be derailed one way or the other anyway. So,
but that's wonderful. Don't you see the potential, the never-ending, you never know what's going to happen. Around the corner, here we fly. On the train, flying through the dark rain, you know, moonlit night. It's fantastic. It could derail. Everyone could be killed. It'd be a horrible thing. We'll be in the papers. We'll be on stretchers with photographs of us on stretchers being carried away from the wreckage. My God, how many will lose their lives?
You know, that's my whole thing. That's my whole thing. I don't mind dying. I just want to take everybody fucking with me. You know, I just don't want to die alone. So
everybody, a lot of work.
Everybody. Yeah.
No, I actually, I kind of want to go ahead and hone this back in, because I have a feeling that we're going to need a great deal of time to deal with what the main thing here is, and that thing being what you've either created or been created by. So if you wouldn't mind giving us a small introductory to it, that would be excellent.
Okay, I call myself a warlock. My system is warlock because it's based, the reason why I do that is a standard kind of understanding that one has, especially in Zen Buddhism, or Soto Zen, at least. And when you can, okay, look out on the world and you, let's use the example of a tree. Well, what does a tree do? The Western mind. A tree grows. A tree has leaves, and it doesn't have leaves. A tree is used for lumber. A tree is, oh, yeah, I carved my initials where I fucked Sally, and all this other nonsense. This never-ending list of associations. Well, in a Zen way of looking at things, what happens is you look at it, and if you know what the fuck you're doing, the word tree doesn't even occur to you. It simply is a tree, and it is doing what? Well, it's treeing. A fish fishes, a rock rocks. I mean, it simply is what it is, so says so. So it's not a... Zen is another thing that I got into, and I'm still into. Into? Are we on the ooze or in the ooze? Or are we the ooze? So, but the warlock designation, I had absolutely no use for a name. But I thought, well, if I'm ever going to actually explain this to another living soul, I better call myself something. So I went looking for a... are you there?
Yeah, I'm here and listening contently, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. I look at this fucking machine and all the lights are off, so I never know if it's operating or not, this phone. Anyway, the whole warlock thing, I look, because I'm from a background of occultism, I look for the one descriptive noun that seems to fit. And I'm looking and it's like, well, gee, I haven't heard anybody called a warlock in, I don't know, 30 years, more. And it's something that, and I did a tiny bit of research on it, and the pagans hate it. I left a trail of my investigations and my favorites on YouTube. I was asking questions of Reverend Don at Salem. If you've ever been to Salem, you really should go. It's fantastic. You know, it's like warlock. And the basic definition that everybody was agreeing on, at least in the occult community, is, oh, this is a bad thing. Nobody uses this word. This is shit. This is an oathbreaker, a liar, a deceiver. I said, I'll take it. And the reason I took it is because it seemed to describe quite effectively, I think, what I am, what I do. And what I do is I eliminate boundaries. I don't do dogma. I don't do this. It's not a fucking philosophy. It's not a religion. I do what I do. And to do that, you can't have categories. You can't have walls. You can't say, oh, well, is this satanic or not? Well, shit, let me check my fucking owner's manual. Oh, hell no, it's not. Shit, I better think of something else. No, I don't do that. It's a fucking waste of my time. So I do as I please. It really doesn't matter. And I break the oath of any kind of constraint. I just don't have a use for it. It's in my, you know, it's an irritation at best. So I just, it's not that, I mean, I can adopt a philosophy for, you know, a day, a year, whatever's necessary, but then I discard it because it's empty posturing primarily, just to show somebody, I'm this. No, okay. Poof, now I'm something else. I've become a rabbit. You know, it's meaningless to me. So, you know, if anybody wants to bump titties with me about, well, that's not satanic, well, no shit, Sherlock. Or is it?
Right on.
Is it? Guess what, folks? You get to play by no rules, too. Right? You're a Satanist? You want to define me as a Satanist? By God. Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, hail Satan. Yeah, a couple of Satanists hanging out, smoking some shit. Yeah, that's fine. If you want to call me whatever, it doesn't matter. One of the side effects of both the identity thing and the warlock thing is people that have very rigid belief structures can't fucking manage this. So they're like, And I can manage it quite well, man. I fucking Charlie don't surf, but I fucking do. And, you know, if you don't, then get off my fucking beach. Any questions?
Right. Actually, I've got a few. Now, you've already defined warlock, which was going to be my primary question to you.
Sure.
So, because obviously we need a point of reference. What I'm interested about is, as I understood, the Oathbreaker thing.
Have you ever taken an oath?
Have I ever taken an oath?
Yeah, have you ever raised your right hand?
Yes, I have, actually.
Excellent, cool. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. What I'm trying to determine is, why take an oath if you know in your mind you're going to break the oath later? That's what I'm trying to figure out, what the benefit there is.
Well, you make the assumption that at the moment you are taking the oath that you have an intent. This man, with prior knowledge and intent, did in fact do this, that, or the other thing. No, fuck, man, I'm standing there in uniform. I've been through two different state correctional academies. They dress you up like a fucking monkey, pin a tin star on your fucking tit, and you raise your hand and you say, hey, okay, yeah, I'll promise to do this, whatever. Well, I've never been a member of anything. I've wanted to be the member of one thing, but unfortunately it's impossible. And, it's like, you. That's another thing. I try not to make too many assumptions, man, because when you do the kind of magic that I do, fuck, man, you have no idea how this is going to turn out. You can make all the assumptions you want. I mean, the Las Vegas operation I did. You know, if I would have known the fucking hell that I went through, that I had to go through and put my wife through too, and the fucking devastation that I was causing to an airport, I would have never fucking done it, man, because that was a goddamn drag. I mean, the money was good, but fuck. It was like goddamn shutting down computers, stopping trains, shelling out thousands of fucking dollars for first class seats that we never got to take. All kinds of shit. You know, it was a casualty of the operation. And, it worked out in the end, but, you know, big mountain of fucking cash, thank you very much. But, you know, you have no idea how these things are going to manifest. So assumptions are out the fucking window, too. I mean, you can do them if it makes you happy. But assumptions, what the fuck use are those? You know, I never know if I'm going to say or do anything at any given moment. I try to pay attention to what is happening exactly at this moment, right now.
Okay. Well, what I'm confused about here, and forgive me for, I'm going to try to use some kind of a simple analogy to just relate to this, but if I was to assemble a model plane, I would have to make an assumption that the diagram that was sitting there in front of me was going to give me the proper instructions to get to the end result, which is a functional model plane.
Right.
But what you're talking about here at this point is that there's no necessity to make that assumption. So then do you still follow the diagram without making the assumption?
Well, there's no assumption. Okay, what is the first principle? People want to do magic. Why? Right? They want something. Why do fucking idiots fall to their fucking knees and pray to a bearded sky giant that they're, you know, they're authorized and approved to pray to? They want something. Please let little Timmy walk again, God, or some other shit. Well, in our kind of field, if you want to call it, we're usually, if anybody's doing magic, what they're doing is they, whoa. Again, I make reference to the song a friend of mine wrote, called Sweet, Sweet Satan, which, by the way, I wrote the beginning of, but he'll never admit to. And, Sweet, Sweet Satan, lay your deformed hands on me and make sure that I make lots of money. Sweet, sweet Satan, I will sell you my soul for a piece of pussy and a lot of action. Okay, you want something in exchange, don't you? In the case of the Las Vegas operation, I wanted two things. One, I wanted to, well, the intent was really simple. I want to win a goddamn pile of money without risking any money. And what good is winning $100,000 if it takes you $100,005 to fucking win it? Right, so I do the thing, and boom, right, $50, big fucking deal, right? So, and by the way, to confirm that, I would, of course, oh shit, let's just not believe him. That'd be easier. Yeah, let's call bullshit. Let's call bullshit, shall we? Yeah, fuck yeah, can't back it up. All win, no sale. Makes for a sad sailor, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you call the Las Vegas Hilton, because you're going to have to, because they apparently haven't updated their goddamn website since 1950. And you'll see, you know, if they ever update that motherfucker, you'll see my smiling face on the fucking photo gallery. Okay? Now, would you like to know how to fucking take Vegas for a goddamn ton of money magically? You don't need a goddamn whose diagram? Okay, and the reason why I don't need a fucking diagram is because I've done the work. Please, tell me what book. I can go down to, what is it? What's a bookstore? Barnes & Noble. Which one of these fine occult books on this bookshelf, which one, Mr. Downey, contains How to Bust Vegas? 101 in the occult section. How many? Where's my motherfucking instructions?
Okay. So you busted Vegas magically, or were you just coincidentally lucky?
No, and no.
Busted Vegas.
Ooh, well, here we go with the rational materialism. Well, let's try this, okay?
Why not?
That operation took me four months. And the only material thing that I needed was a Wheel of Fortune tarot card, okay? So, well, fuck, I got those laying around in space, no pun intended. So I do that. I do my thing, but the reason why I had to do it 4 months in advance is because I knew I was going to Las Vegas. I go to Las Vegas all the time. So I do this. Boom. Now, I've done the work that I do, and there are references to these things. I mean, if you study certain things, certain writings by Peter Carroll, for instance, or Spare, you'll find about lust of result, okay? So you've got to do something. In the case of Spare's work, it's a sigil. So I think you do it, and then you have to forget you did it. I didn't remember that I'd done the damn thing until I was walking away with a goddamn huge check, okay? We were walking, my wife and I were walking to the Space Quest bar, and I was going, oh, fuck. Yeah. Now, I don't know. How about this? Let's just discount that, shall we? And discount all the other shit I've done. Let's do that because it's easier. Let's do that because it's rational. Let's do that because it's not magical, because we don't live in a magical universe, do we? Oh, of course not.
What's interesting to me here, I'm just wondering now, obviously, to some extent, you know, I realize that there are forces in play that I myself can't understand. And by forces in play, what I mean is that there's obviously some kind of gravitas between the sun and the planet. There's some kind of gravitas between the solar system and its galaxy or whatever, and these are all, you know, elements that I don't quite understand. And I know that that's a very general blanket way of describing what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah.
But what I mean is that things like luck, you know, that they obviously have some relevance. Chance is, you know, just as real as anything else.
Well, of course. And,
you know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine, please.
Well, no, it's like when I think you emailed me and said, okay, you have your choice of 3 days. to do this radio show, right? Remember that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, what date did I pick?
You picked today, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. Now, do you? Can you make a crazy guess why?
Well, I would assume that it has something to do with its magical significance, the number 13, or the superstition associated with the date.
Well, kinda, yeah, and that's great. And by the way, man, I'm not trying to be fucking nuts on this phone here. It's just I've had way too much coffee. and I've grown so tired of these fucking feeble arguments about people making statements which they know nothing of. Hail ignorance. Anyway, the reason I picked Friday the 13th is very simple. We're in a magical operation right now. You're soaking in it, Madge. You know, hey, there's a reason why I do things. There's a reason why there are things I do on certain dates. You know, what do I say? I say look at things closely, right? Now, it's very difficult for most people to do, especially younger people. Because one thing that people don't understand, and what I've done a lot of experiments on this, attention deficit disorder is not a disorder, folks. It's an adaptation, all right? And I think about anybody under 30 nowadays, it's, you know, they're going to need it. They're going to need it. So I can't guarantee that, but that's the way it seems. I don't waste too much time observing other people and trying to figure out what their problem is. But, you know, ADD, it's like, well, God forbid we should actually examine something closely. You know, this you won't make it a fucking day doing serious yogic practices on concentration if you cannot fucking pay attention, okay? And the shit's in front of you all the time, but people are just, yes, bullshit, and fucking walk away. Well, congratulations, sir, you lose.
Why do you think they lose?
Well, it's because when you stop pointing at things and say, this is this, isn't it obvious, Madge? Why, that man's crazy. Ha 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 ha. That's not right, or this is right, or that's wrong. It doesn't matter. It fucking doesn't matter if it's a sentence in a newspaper or what appears to be a useless piece of junk until one looks at it. And if you look at it with a clear eye, it's another magical ability. An occult truth will emerge from that. If you're lucky, sometimes nothing's there. But not so much for me anymore, right? But I'm going to make a video, and I'm going to do an example of this. I have to kind of, well, they call it, dumb it down and give concrete examples. But I have a thing called a Stanhope. Do you know what a Stanhope is?
What is it?
Okay, it's if you do an internet search, you'll see it. It's what a Stanhope is. It's usually some kind of little piece of jewelry, usually manufactured in the 1920s, that contains mankind's first exploration into microphotography. Now, I have a ring that if you saw it on the ground, you wouldn't even pick it up. Looks like a piece of junk, cheap junk. When you pick it up and examine it closely, it still looks like a piece of cheap junk. Piece of glass glued badly into a cheap metal ring. Until you hold it up to the light and look through a hole. And then you win. Because then you see the naked lady inside, don't ya? Yeah, you do. A photograph of a nude woman. Now, that's a concrete teaching tool right there. And it causes all kinds of, you know, people just fucking spin their wheels forever. Let's spend 20 years. office, not looking at anything. Let's just read 1,000 fucking books, but never actually do anything and never actually paying attention to anything. Yeah, let's just read another book. And fuck, I don't want to throw myself into the fucking goddamn slaughterhouse. God, ooh, shit. What would that do to my mind and emotions? Well, let's find out. Let's see if
you can deal
with it, man. Do you know I developed fucking potions, folks? Classical magic potions that cause nightmares. Fucking, you know, insane goddamn pain. And not only does it cause physical pain, horrible pain and nausea, but it will cause you to absolutely climb the walls in fear. Now, why would somebody fucking design something like that?
Call LSD.
LSD's fucking a happy puppy, man. Shit. I call it Loki 13, man. Loki 13 will fucking peel your fucking face off. And really, it's best if you take it right after some traumatic event, right? The death of a loved one or something. And it'll show you if you can control your mind or not. And by God, if you can't, you are fucked. So that's that brings me to something. Show me the innovations, gentlemen. I understand there's a line of people lined up who want to kick my ass. Bitch slap me. Everything. Where are your innovations? Sorry I'm not a Satanist. Where are the fucking innovations? How many goddamn potions have you made? Now, I'm not mad at you guys, okay? But, you know, don't fuck with me. Motherfuckers. I have fucking been there while people were goddamn butchered. I have swept and scooped up human brains. Do you know what that smells like?
I do.
Oh, excellent. Hey, did it smell sweet to you? I'm trying to figure out if that's just an effect of the alcohol.
Honestly, I didn't really sense much of a sweet smell to it, but I can understand why you might say that. But I then again only have been exposed to the smell of it one time in my life, and it was probably the most putrid smell I've ever had. So,
well, was it a fresh kill?
Fresh kill, no.
No, I mean, you got to get it right when it happens.
Right.
And what I don't mean sweet like, ooh, cool, sweet. I'm talking about like candy sweet, and it just sticks and stuff. It'll stick in your clothing. But anyway, I digress. Next question.
All right. You'll have to forgive me for a moment. I'm trying to still digest everything we've discussed here. I can understand why King refers to you as Naga Light. So
I had to figure that out, man, because I don't follow the papers. I thought he was talking about, okay, a traditional Naga, you know, an Indo-Chinese demon. And it's, oh, wait, no, they had some fucking retarded waste of time fight on the internet, and some guy was called Naga. Okay, great. Oh, thank you. Naga Light. It sounded like a fucking alcohol, you know, some Indo-Chinese alcohol fucking product to me. Have you ever drank snake blood whiskey? I mean, not snake blood whiskey, but snake whiskey? It's awesome.
No, I have not.
It's where a friend of mine, Minsu, used to make it for me. We'd take a snake, get some whiskey, it didn't matter what kind, you put a live snake in a jar, and then you cork it, and he dies inside of it, and then he gradually deteriorates. And it was funny, and my whole take on that was, well, shit, Naga Light, because Minsu would say, make your dick hard, make your dick hard. And this guy was like 5 feet tall. And he could kick anyone's ass, man. He was fucking awesome.
Right on.
Make your dick hard. And he would do this gesture with his arm. Make your dick hard. This is cool. Seen him in fucking 30 years.
I think the reference to Naga Light is a reference to you being able to talk a lot but absolutely go nowhere with the conversation.
Of course. Well, yeah. Well, what's the point of going someplace? I'm running a fucking school for wizards here? Pay me, motherfucker. Okay. I got to look over some non-disclosure forms I'm getting from a CEO of an advertising agency. It's like, you know, okay, you want something, I'm getting paid. Okay, you want me, you know, oh yeah, oh fuck, I got nothing better to do than get on YouTube and tell people the secrets of, you know, my secret winning slot system. You know, just take 20 years of your fucking life.
Right.
What the fuck do I actually explain shit to anybody for, man? It's like, I don't give a fuck about that.
Right on. We're running into the last 9 minutes of our show here, man. And as enjoyable as this has been, I really did want to touch on the Intero Bang. I wanted to know how that connects with your warlock paradigm.
100%. Superman's got the big S on his chest. Well, if I was so inclined, my leotards would have the Intero Bang. The Intero Bang, created in 1962, the year of my birth, by Spectre. And it is the only occult symbol worth a shit, as far as I'm concerned. And I've seen my share. Now you guys can do what you want with it, but the whole thing is, to me, it's the important question. Forget the bullshit. Forget the fucking bullshit. Get down to the important question. You know, who are you? How about this? What are you doing? Right? What are you fucking doing? What are you doing? And whatever it is you're doing, is it paying off? I mean, are you getting someplace? Or is this just, you know, I'm chasing my own ass for no particular reason because I want to wear a fucking circle in the floor. What are you doing? Intero Bang. Brought to you by the makers of... fuck, man. I mean, okay, you know, you guys are always talking about bringing something to the table. Well, there you are. I'll be your waiter for this evening, and here's the Intero Bag guy. Hope you enjoy it. You know, look at it, you know? You don't, what do you fucking, you know, you guys have been looking at the same goddamn material for how long? 66? Longer?
Well, I'm sure. I wouldn't say the exact same material.
Somebody invented the term current, which is nice, isn't it? Current. Or current.
Right. Well, I think the current term is nice. There's a lot of things that I think are slowly integrating themselves into the philosophy itself.
Well, I suggest you guys kind of step it up because we're all running out of time, gentlemen. Trust me. We're all running out of time.
Right on. Well, I've actually come to I've come to a point myself where I've been working on a little project that nobody knows about. Well, there's probably about 3 people that actually know the project that I'm working on. But
awesome.
My little project, if it works out, is going to rip apart the idea that there's any kind of separation between a materialist and somebody who's spiritually inclined. Which is really what I'm kind of aiming for. There always seems to be this need to create some kind of dichotomy in the world or break up these little different selves.
Right.
And I realize that it's all coming from, you know, it's all heading in the same direction, but coming from different perspectives. And I guess
I could give
that's kind of what
I'm... The whole thing is, man, just do the fucking work, okay? Get out of your chair, get out there and do the fucking work. And you can make all the plans you want, but you know what is better is, fuck, man, surprise yourself.
So, Savik, how much do you sell your get-rich-quick potion for?
I don't have a get-rich-quick potion. I have various toxins. I'm about to do an operation called Operation Philosopher's Stone, which hopefully, if it works out, it's a multiphasic kind of operation where, actually, I wanted you to be part of it, but you've got to have a hell of a lot of self-discipline. Were you the kind of kid that used to,
I don't have any self-discipline, but go
Mr.
ahead.
Mr. Black,
sorry.
Were you the kind of kid that used to sneak down on Christmas, you know, find the Christmas presents before Christmas and take a razor or whatever, open them up and find out what they were before?
No, actually I didn't do that.
Awesome. you may be qualified.
I like the surprise.
Awesome, man. Well, all you would have to do, and this is if I decide to do this way, because I'm not sure, because I just started this thing 2 days ago. All you would have to do is take a sealed envelope, put it somewhere prominently where you see it every day in your own home. Okay? Just you, Mr. Black, nobody else. Because I don't know you. You're not a friend of mine. Nobody can accuse you of being my confederate. This isn't a fucking piece of stage magic. And then when I call you, and it might be a year from now, I say, open the envelope. Now, this will help one aspect, which I don't really give a fuck one way or another about, but it might convince some people. You'll read four words on that piece of paper. And if I'm successful, 300 million people will be saying those words. But you've been looking at that envelope on your dresser, next to your computer for a year. And I haven't snuck into your fucking apartment, switched envelopes, or none of this shit. And then I would like to see the fucking look on your face. Because, no, man, magic's not real, is it? Why don't you go ask, I'll tell you what, I know we got to go. Why don't you get on YouTube? Do you know Brian Bell of Weezer? The band Weezer? Okay. Well, you guys live in California. There's a band called The Relationship. It's a side band of his. It's not Weezer. It's his own band. He does one of my songs. It's called Mother Night. I wrote it for girls. Go up and ask him after the show, is magic real?
All right. Well, I might just give you my address, and we'll play this out to the end.
Well, I found out yesterday one of my operatives lives in San Diego. He's a very nice person, so I might just have him deliver it by hand.
So that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen him forever. My wife put me on this Facebook bullshit. Now I've got every swinging dick in the goddamn universe tracking me down.
Yeah, Facebook's a trip.
Yeah, I'm not used to this shit, man. You know, I don't
it's like
technology.
I got 400 friends and I know two people here. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, the entire video stuff that you guys created, you created Spellcast X, which is an experimental spell in itself. You guys created that. You know that, don't you?
Oh, inadvertently, maybe, right? By influencing you?
You guys voted. It's like I said, do you want me to do a video? And you said yes. Boom.
Right.
Now, I hit it, and I purposely put the title question mark on it because I knew that when you type in question mark, just the symbol, the results come back, no video exists, no video found. Of course not, because it doesn't exist, does it?
According to YouTube, it doesn't, but we did find it somehow.
But they're the authority. Hell, it's their fucking show, isn't it? And it doesn't exist. And
that's
then
channel, that's YouTube's channel.
But I'm going to make all one right. more video, I think, and then I'm gone with that because I've got to move on to an operation. But fucking dangerous, too. I ain't got time to fuck around playing.
All right. Well, we're out of time, man. It's been a good show. Keep Naga lighting it. It
Thank
seems
you.
To work for you.
By the way, I got fucked up doing that.
Right on.
That wasn't
right
an
on,
ash.
Right on. Is there anything that you want to plug prior to us going off the air here?
Yeah, just a friend of mine, Corey Parks, has a line of fashion clothing called Stand and Deliver. It's kind of high dollar, but Corey Parks, she's hanging around with Lemmy and shit. Buy the Relationship album. My song's on it, but my song's not the best song. You can go on YouTube and hear some of the songs. If you go to YouTube and type in The Relationship, Mother Night, you'll hear my song. I wrote that. Brian Bell singing it. Listen to that. But Master Plan is the best song on the album, and I didn't write that. So it's a pretty good album. Now, it's not death metal, but shit, you want some of that? I can do that too. Okay, pay me. But that's my plugs. Right, I mean, Stand and Deliver Fashion, Fashions. There's a video for that on YouTube. Just type in Stand and Deliver Corey Parks.